The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. And it is so great to welcome to our show Matt Hayes, longtime writer down in Florida. He's been with the Sporting News, now writing for Saturday Down South. He also hosts part of a trio that hosts a great program in the noontime hour in the city of Jacksonville. So I can only imagine what the topic of conversation was late today and will be the rest of the week. Matt Hayes, it is wonderful to welcome you back to our program. You also used to cover the Florida Gators. How are you doing? And has Tebow Mania infiltrated the city of Jacksonville yet?
It's thanks for having me, Paul. It's interesting, that's for sure. I mean, the million-dollar question is, are you gonna use a roster spot on a guy who's going to be your fourth and short wildcat guy and a punt protector? Because, I mean, you're talking about a 34-year-old man who, seriously, is in best, probably the best shape of his life, but has never played the position of tight end. I mean, if anybody can do it, Tebow can. But, I mean, I just – it's going to be very interesting to see him in camp. Does his body recover – like young guys that are 10 years younger than him, you know, can he go 4, 5, and 6 straight days of taking a pounding like that? And it's not where he's going to be protected as he was at the quarterback spot. He's now in a situation where he's going to be engaging every snap. I think much as anything, Paul, honestly, is it's going to be his health physically. Can he physically do it? If he can physically do it, I would imagine he'll figure out how to play tight end. It's just a matter of, can his body take that pounding that he's going to take?
Matt, a lot of us have pontificated because we know Tebow like you do. You've covered him. You've been around him. You know why we think this happened, but you're down there, and you're a lot closer to it than we are. When do you think all this began, and how did it happen?
I my guess would be it began as soon as he stopped playing baseball. I mean, you know elite athletes, Paul. These guys, they've been doing this all their lives, and it's not just – I don't think it's the adulation for Tim. I think it's more of the competition. He's a guy that thrives on it. And I think it's on the field and off the field. Competition is a big deal to him. You know, when you take this away from elite athletes, you see these guys all the time, Paul. We see them when they're retiring, and these are grown men that break down and start to cry because what's their life once they're done? And the interesting thing is Tim's life is so full off the field. You know, but clearly there's something missing there. Clearly he needs that competition. He needs that you know, that mano a mano in him right now to further himself, because he's the guy who, if you want to talk about a guy, you know, if you want to put up a picture on the wall of a guy who is self-actualized and gets life and has a full life, he's the guy. And now he's trying something that, you know, really is a big, big gamble. You're talking about a guy that will be 34 when the season begins, if he makes the club, and a guy who's, you know, look, when you're 34, Paul, you and I are much older than that, but when you're 34, your body reacts a lot differently than when you're 24 in the NFL. And you're talking about the elite of the elite in the NFL. And I can understand why Urban's doing it. I understand that, you know, Urban's trying to change the culture in that locker room. He's, you know, what better guy to put in that locker room than Tim Tebow? But at the end of the day, this is simply going to come down, I truly believe, to a physical situation. Can his body endure what it's going to endure and him be healthy? I mean, I wouldn't be shocked in the least if we're a week, 2 weeks into camp and you see, like, he's got a hamstring or something and he's, you know, he's on IR. So it's, to me, that's where we're at.
Matt, is this a precursor to something else, like him being part of the staff in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, I think it could be. I mean, one of Urban's players, Ryan Stamper, right now has a position on the team, sort of like a personnel liaison type guy. I wouldn't be shocked in the least if this is kind of like a way for Tim to get in and be part of the program, because you'd have to be crazy to not have a guy like that involved in a franchise that you've been trying to turn around, a franchise that has a history of losing, of really, really bad teams that basically call failing. You'd be crazy not want to have a guy like that who has a history of winning, who is a guy who really galvanizes people around him, is a great leader. They need more guys like that, not only in that locker room, but around that franchise.
I was with you a couple weeks ago talking about Urban Meyer, and now that he's you know, he got his man in Trevor Lawrence, but I'm not suggesting Trevor Lawrence is being overshadowed, but you were there when Tebow played, and you've seen him even when he returns to campus. Help us understand the relationship that we're about to see with Trevor Lawrence as the first pick in the draft and the chosen one, and Tim Tebow, who may be a bit player, he may not play at all, getting what I think is going to be a lot of attention.
It's I mean, if the NFL really wanted somebody for Hard Knocks, this is the perfect franchise for it this season. When you're talking Herb, you're talking Trevor Lawrence, and you're talking Tim Tebow. That trifecta right there alone would have people watching that show like riveted to it. I mean, Paul, if you look at this group, I mean, Urban's got his quarterback, okay? There's no doubt about that. That's he's building around that guy. But this city, this idea of Tim Tebow playing for the Jaguars, and this city wanted him years ago, more than a decade ago, and they took Tyson Alualu, the defensive lineman. And the city was crazy about it. You know, then when the Broncos gave up on him, this city wanted him again. And the GM here said, we'll never sign him. Not even if he's released, we're not going to sign him. And I think it's a lot of that. To me, I look at this really at a realistic point, Paul. Bringing Tebow here, the longer he lasts in training camp, I really truly believe the more pressure it takes off Trevor Lawrence, because the focus is going to be on Tebow. And it's not going to be on Trevor every day. Not that Trevor couldn't handle it anyway, because he's proven since he was in ninth grade that he can handle pressure, and he's improved significantly with each year since, you know, his last year in college. But I think it would be good to, at the very least, take a little of the spotlight off of Trevor with Tim Tebow here, as long as he stays in camp.
Matt, there's already been conversation, but starting tomorrow morning on all the shows and probably lasting until there's no Tim Tebow to talk about, it will be there. I mean, we've already seen it. I mean, you know, we don't need to know what's coming. I can tell you, I know it's coming, and you do too. But, you know, there'll be a lot of things said about Tebow that you've heard before. I've already heard it today. You've heard it on your show a million times. In the NFL, was he given a fair shake? Was it because of his stance on religion? Help square that for us.
I don't know that you can point to any one thing, Paul. I think there's a lot of things that contributed to it. I mean, he's not the typical quarterback, but, you know, you certainly can make an argument that his style of play, the dual threat type of style of play, or running quarterback, the power run stuff that he did, he just missed on it, because now it's starting to become a factor in the league. So you could say that he just missed on it. You could say that he really wasn't as good of a throw as the other quarterbacks in the league, which, you know, I think you can make that argument as well. But the reality was, when he got on the field, he won for the most part. And I, you know, especially that little playoff run with the Chargers. With the Broncos. Look, I look at him and I see a guy who, why would you not want a guy like that on your team? That was really the most perplexing thing for me, Paul. Is if I'm an NFL team, and I get the circus idea and it's craziness around everywhere, but, man, why would you not want a guy like that on and off the field who can contribute not only to your team but your culture, which is so important right now at any level of football, specifically college and the NFL, where you've got to have a harmonious culture to move forward and to win games consistently, where it's just so hard right now to win these football games. And you hear coaches talking about it, Paul, over and over and over, college football and the NFL. It's about what culture you have. How do you get these guys doing right off the field? Because, and Saban says this all the time, the way you act and the way you live your life off the field directly translates to how you play on the field. So that was the most perplexing thing to me, is why would you not want someone like that who could lead in that way and show these guys, look, this is the right way. We all do this the right way. This is the end goal.
But Matt, what I'm about to tell you is not earth shattering. You work with you've worked with an NFL former player. You know many of them, as we all do, and there is a differing point of view on Tebow. And I know you've heard it that and the two of us, I think, believe everything that you've said and believe he can be a unifier. But there's certainly a group that doesn't like that style, and maybe that has kept him out in the past. So that's still some Urban though has already dealt with that. He dealt with it at Florida.
Right. Of course there is. I don't think there's any question that the way he lives his life, the way he publicly lives his life, of course it is. There are some people that don't like that. And Paul, to be honest with you, I don't care if your name's Tim Tebow or Joe Smith. If you live your life like that, you're going to rub people the wrong way, whether it's right or not. you know, right, wrong, or different. That's going to happen. So if you're asking, do I believe it was part of the reason why he didn't get a fair shake in the NFL, I would say absolutely. I would absolutely agree with that.
And as far as what happens now is really anybody's guess. But I do want to ask you one other thing about that, the, in connection to Urban Meyer. And I think one of your colleagues was here the other day, and he mentioned you. I think it was Pat Dooley. That said that, you know, maybe this will bridge the gap. Maybe this will get Urban on the stadium now in the Hall of Fame. You saw all that. You saw the ugly ending. It may be a little better today that Dan Mullen is there, but will signing Tim Tebow and having him part of his franchise help massage some of the old wounds that still exist in some people's minds between Urban and the University of Florida?
You know what, Paul, I understand what you're saying. I truly believe time will eventually heal all wounds. And I also believe the further we get away from that, the further you start to see that a lot of coaches and a lot of programs deal with issues, certainly not to that extent that Urban had at Florida, where he had, you know, 30-some-odd arrests in six seasons. You know, it ended poorly there for him. There's no doubt about it, did it? You know, and it ended poorly at Ohio State, too. But here we are in a sports world where we place so much emphasis on winning championships, getting to the NFL, getting a high draft pick, playing in the NFL, making money. You know, it's sports, 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 sports. So Urban right now is in a perfect spot. You can say all you want about him off the field as a guy, the way he handled his team, the way he, you know, you could say the way he had an entitled team wherever he was. That's fine, and I will agree with you. And believe me, I've taken as many shots at him as anybody, saying what he did was wrong. But if you start to get drill right down to and start talking about a football coach, a guy that coaches the sport, gets guys ready to play and win games, I mean, it's Saban, it's Meyer, and it's Dabo, and you can throw them however you want to throw them in college football right now. I mean, it's, you know, now he's in the NFL. Now let's see if that can translate to the NFL.
Fantastic stuff. Matt, I know that it's never difficult to be a talk show host in a market like Jacksonville, but how much easier did it just get?
Well, Paul, put it this way. With the news broke with about an hour to go in the show, and literally that's all anyone wanted to talk about was Tim Tebow. And that's why I said earlier, it might be the best thing for Trevor Lawrence right now, because now when mini camp starts, it's going to be all about Tebow and not so much about Trevor Lawrence.
Truly remarkable, considering he has not played a down in the NFL since 2012, a regular season down. Matt, fantastic right. Job. Loved having you on, and can't wait to get you back. All the best, my friend.
Thanks, Paul. My pleasure.
Wow, one of the best ever. Matt Hayes, he was a fantastic reporter in Florida, covered the Gators, and now is doing what all of us do, hosting a talk show. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to have all of you here. Jeff is up next in Tallahassee. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, thank you for taking my call again. Quick comment. If it's Chris Winkie with FSU. If he can play late in life like that, I think Tebow can also. And then also this COVID thing, I lost 65 pounds and I'd almost get a tear in my eye, but that's not a good way to lose weight. But everybody get a shot and wear your mask.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you. You take care of yourself, Jeff. How about Kevin up next in North Carolina? Hello, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hey, Paul. Thank you for letting me visit again. I hope you're doing well. I had a great Mother's Day. And
thank you.
Your wife had a great Mother's Day, let me say. As a long-time observer, adamant observer of college sports, to me, the biggest scandals in college sports over the years in my lifetime were obviously Penn State and Baylor. But I think LSU is right up there with it. I've never seen a school get hit on so many different levels by recruiting violations and internal shenanigans and sexual abuse and people sweeping things under the carpet at the university in Baton Rouge. I've never seen so many things come down on one school, different things, and so much shenanigans going on. And I'm just, I just don't understand how a school that's ranked 153rd in the academic rankings of U.S. News and World Report seems like they can get anybody in school with those kind of academics. My question is, Greg Stanky, does he have any jurisdiction here to step in and get something done? Is he negligent if he does not do something? Because obviously it doesn't seem like it's going to be fixed. And, who do you trust in that university at this point? And where are the state legislatures and where is the governor? And I'd like to hear something from the fans, not the pom-pom fans. I'd like to hear something from the fans. And I know Augie has disappeared and other LSU fans have disappeared, but a fix on this thing. And aren't they embarrassed that this university, which is the state flagship school of the state of Louisiana, meaning it gets the most money by far, it is a absolute fiasco, and it's got to be an embarrassment to the whole state, Paul. Does Stanky have any...
Well, Kevin, let me address it. First of all, the commissioner has a lot of jurisdiction and governance, but he is not responsible, per se, for what happens on the institutional side of LSU. And that's what this is. This is not a, did they break some NCAA rules, or are they refusing to follow the guidelines and the charter of the Southeastern Conference? First of all, we don't really know where this is going. What we have now is we basically have two university employees that were suspended, one for 21 days and one for 30 by the university. Other than that, we have no action at all from the university proper. We have countless federal Title IX lawsuits which have yet to be adjudicated. We have a head coach who gets fired from Kansas and an athletic director who gets fired from Kansas because he hired the guy that all these allegations are being made. And we have a president at Oregon State who gets run out, who was the chancellor and president at LSU. So it's a rather circuitous path. So to blame Greg Sankey, I think, is foolhardy. I'm not really sure what Greg Sankey is supposed to do right now until the cases reach court.
No, I wasn't blaming Greg Stanky. Obviously, he can't be everywhere. I just wondered of his jurisdiction and should he step in, because it's such a mess at LSU. And those other people that were fired at other universities, it came under the watch And they got fired because what they did at LSU a few years ago, when they were at LSU, and I am going to go to my grave knowing that only that one person, that only one person, more than one person, knew what was going on at LSU and higher up people. I'm not talking about somebody in the school cafeteria. I'm talking about higher up people knew that co-eds were being asked out by coaches and administrative people, high administrative people, and obviously the big thing is the sexual assault allegations going on that was swept under the rug. And then you have the coach there, Wade, is on tape.
Well, but Kevin, hold on a second. Kevin, just a second. He's on tape. He's on an FBI tape that was never used in court. So that tape right now is fairly useless unless the NCAA decides to do something with it. And by the way, the NCAA, which has the governance of rules violations, not the SEC, has yet to do anything with it. So I know what you're saying, and I'm not defending LSU. We've talked about this a great deal, and quite frankly, it deserves our attention. But nothing has happened yet. LSU just hired a new president the other day. I hope he addresses it, although I have no earthly idea what the first issues on his calendar are. But as far as a lot of this, there's really I don't know where LSU can go. Who are they supposed to fire at this point?
Well, obviously, it seems like the every administrator in the athletic department.
But
damn close to 75% of them.
Kevin, the person who should have been fired was Les Miles. That's where the problem began.
Agreed.
And by not doing that, this entire episode has unfolded, and there's nothing the university can do now but hope for the best. And, hoping for the best will not get it done. This is going to be a very ugly case.
Where are the Board of Trustees people?
Well,
don't they care about their university?
Kevin,
multiple people that knew about this, I'm willing to bet.
Kevin.
And I'm also willing to bet the Olympic sports.
Kevin, allow me to answer your...
You don't cover Olympic sports.
Allow me to answer your question.
The
problem with where we are right now is a direct result of the Board of Trustees. Let me say one thing and then we'll go. Joe Oliva, the former athletic director, recommended to the president, the person that he reports to, that Les Miles be fired. The president and the Board of Trustees, with the Board of Trustees' approval, overrode him. And that's why we are here right now.
Well, I would hope that some LSU people would call in and recommend and not be, pom-pom cheerleaders about this whole thing. I mean, this is stinks to high heaven.
Thank
you, sir.
That is one thing I do agree with you on. But your scent is not going to necessarily get you in trouble with the NCAA. We will take a break. More phone calls after this. So we'll talk to Buddy Martin in the final hour about the Tebow situation and other issues. And we're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome all of you back. It's been a busy one. The big story of this day is that it's reported. It has not been announced yet, but it's being reported by multiple sources around the industry that Tim Tebow is going to sign a one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's get back to the calls. And Fred is up next. Hello, Fred.
Paul, I think about the college, about this what you were the the college scholarship thing.
Right.
I think it's fantastic the way it was. It's helped millions of kids get through school, and why pay kids for doing something that they hadn't even earned? You see what I'm saying? They are throwing away the portion of ownership, the part of actually working to earn something. You see what I'm saying?
Well, Fred, I do understand what you're saying, but I also understand that whether you or I agree or not with what they are going to do, and I know this is not the answer, but it is the reality, they are going to do it. The NCAA president said that Friday, we are going to have this. It just depends on what it looks like.
Well, do you know what I think eventually is going to happen? It's just going to be a Pandora's box. It's just going to because colleges have to have some kind of control, you know, over the players and what they can do. Eventually, they're just going to be able to tell the coach what they're going to do and do it, you know.
Well, Fred.
And then what kind of college football would we have?
Well, I'm not sure what we have now. I love it like you do, but it is a different game than it was when you were in school or I was in school. And I think that's what people have to understand. I'm not giving a sermon here, but times change. And the look of the game changes, and so does the approach. And if you go into a locker room today, you will hear things that are different than what you would have heard in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Well, my thing about this is why fix it if it ain't broke? You know.
Well,
if it's not broke, it's the scholarship program helps kids
Fred, let me ask you this. I agree with you, but let me hold on a second. If you are a football player, is it fair for the university bookstore, for the guy down on the strip, to sell your jersey and make money while you get nothing?
Do you think it's fair for the university to pay for room and board and feeding these kids and school tuition, which is probably $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 a year now, and
hey, Fred.
Not have to pay the schools back something for that?
Fred, the last time I checked, if you're the number one player, you're the number one player, they're begging you to come. They're not charging you to come.
But is that not just a smart business to keep something that you had? Instead of just bellying up over it, you know what I mean?
Fred, do you have any idea the amount of money that college football is worth right now?
Oh yeah, millions.
Okay.
I've heard you talk about it.
Well, no, it's a reality. Fred, I would love to go back in a time machine and, you know, everybody's happy.
But this is as I said before, why fix it if it's not broke?
Well, I'm not sure. Because a lot of young people and a lot of old people have demanded change, that it's just not the way it's going to be anymore. Because Fred, I don't know when you went to school. How long ago did you go to school?
I graduated from high school when I'm 74.
Okay, so think about this. So you're 74. So you would have graduated what, 64, 65 from high school?
No. I graduated from high school in 74.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said you were 74. So you graduated high school in 74. Where did you go? What city did you go to high school in?
Decatur.
Okay. Does your high school look any different today than it did back then in terms of the makeup?
No, it's still the same building, same everything.
What about inside? What about the students? Do they look any different?
Oh yeah, they're definitely different.
How are they different?
They are kids. I mean, crazy kids. Not that I wasn't crazy when I was that age, but you know that it's.
Fred, we're the same age. And I thought my class was the most the biggest group of losers and degenerates on the face of the earth. because we were, you know, we listened to crazy music, and you know, there was occasionally funny smoke wafting from parties that I went to, and you know, we had no morality compared to what I heard from my parents, and now we are the beacon, the group that you and I, the class of 74, we're now the beacon of what's right in the world. Is that what you're telling me?
No. And change is good, but you know, it's kind of like going from an automobile to an electric car. Can we afford to do it?
Well, I don't know. We're going to find out. I hate to run, but we're up against a break. More to come on this very interesting Monday afternoon. Your phone calls continue right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Welcome back here on a Monday afternoon. Pat is up next. Hey, Pat, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you doing today?
We are doing well.
I am a 1978 LSU graduate, and so I'm the same age as you.
Sure.
And I'd like to talk for a second about our buddy Kevin from North Carolina. My first question to Kevin would be this. Does he have a clue as to how many universities are out there? And when they say LSU is ranked 153, it's not out of like 160 colleges. It's like maybe 2,500, 3,000, 5,000. I don't know how many thousand universities there are, but there's a lot more than 153. So the LSU ranking is significant, not as crazy as he might think. Second, about that, Joe Oliva was the AD at LSU at the time of all this stuff. And if you will remember, he came from North Carolina, I believe it was.
He was at Duke.
From a university.
At Duke.
Where he swung a wicked bat at a team that was accused of something, and he put them on probation. And come to find out, that team was not guilty. The story was made up. So Joe Oliva's track record is not that great. So when he said Les Miles did, there may have been some ears that didn't trust him knowing exactly what he was talking about. The third thing I'd like to say about that is while all the dirt is being thrown about, and there's certainly a lot to be thrown, nobody has been convicted or nothing has been proved. It's all hearsay at this point. Now, as an LSU graduate, does it disturb me? Greatly. I do not want my university to have a smear on it like it does right now. Did some of this stuff happen? Probably. Does it happen at other places? Probably. I can tell you recruiting things that I've heard from Alabama, from Auburn, from Georgia, and a lot of other places that have just recently been brought to light. They all have dirt in their closet, or bones, if you will. So let's not think that LSU is the only place out there that has problems. Most of these universities do. Let's get to the NIL instance for just a second. I would be considered a left tackle type guy. I'm a big guy. When I played football, I was in the trenches. While I understand my quarterback and my running backs and maybe some of the wide receivers are going to get more money than I would as a lineman, there may come a time where a lineman says, to heck with this. I'm not going to block the next player two or five, and let's see how Mr. Rich Sox does with nobody blocking for him. I can see some problems happening if all the players are not compensated in what they may feel like is a fair way. Hey, look, great to be a sports fan. Glad we're able to watch stuff again and hope these young men and women that represent our universities can get it right, get an education. That's what it's all about. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. And I just want to say one thing about what he said. He was talking about Joe Oliva. Joe Oliva had been the athletic director at Duke at the time of the Duke lacrosse scandal. And he was widely criticized for his handling of that. So that's what our friend a minute ago was alluding to, but I don't know if I want to give people at LSU a pass for not believing a guy they had just hired. So that's a double-edged sword. Let's continue with phone calls. And Dan is up next in Louisiana.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Hey there, Dan.
Paul, I'm just going to pick up what the gentleman was talking about. I don't see why they keep digging up and everybody's mad at LSU. It seems like, you know, it's an internal thing that, you know, we feel bad enough about it. And there's always bad apples in the group. You know, it's not, you know, it, Geis is showing, you know, showing his true colors even now. But like you said, nothing has been proven yet. But I don't know. I wish everybody would just get off LSU.
Well, Dan, that is something to look forward to, but it may be a while for your wish to come true. Roy is up next. Good afternoon, Roy.
Hey, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm an 80-year-old, and y'all have been touching a little nerve with a Tim Tebow
right
thing. I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Dolphins when they had Bob Greasy and Zonka.
Oh, sure.
And did the perfect season. Do you remember the old worn-out quarterback that came in and won the last game of the season for the perfect season?
That was Earl Morrell, wasn't it?
Earl Morrell. And I'm sure there were people in the Miami, Florida area that were critical of them keeping this old quarterback around that won the last game of the season for them. And, you know, my point is, you know, quit criticizing a guy for trying to do something that he feels like doing. Let's encourage him and hope for the best.
And, yeah, I agree with you. And you know, Tebow is a unicorn. I mean, there's never been anyone like him before. And yeah, you know, I sometimes try to take myself out of the equation because I've had such a privileged seat being around him for so long. But I've never been around. I mean, there have been players who have had moments. Johnny Manziel, for a specific moment in time, was bewildering and mesmerizing. But Tebow is the same person today that he was when I interviewed him the day he announced he was going to the University of Florida over the University of Alabama. And he later told me that it was the most gut-wrenching decision of his life because he really wanted to go to Alabama. He's the same guy. I've had the honor of seeing him in many different settings, and this is just part of who he is.
The fan base for Miami, and I was down there during that time.
Right.
They said, oh, no, when Greasy went down, you know, we're done for. The perfect season's done for. There's not going to make it. And all the old man did was win the game for him.
No, you know, Earl was, you're right about that. I vaguely remember it. I mean, it's only been, 50 years. But
it just touched the nerve, you know. Sure, he's older than most players, but golly, I still feel like I can add to not any sports program, but I can add to.
Hey, by the way, Roy, before you go, do you remember what happened to Zonka and Kick? They bailed out on that franchise about 2 years later to cash in on a new football league.
Right. Yeah, I do remember that, and I didn't like that either.
The only reason I remember that was living in the city where they went, so I went to some of their games. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break.
Thank you. We're coming right back. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.